9, if you'll stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 22. Paul is writing back to the elders of Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, beginning in verse 17. We pick it up at verse 22. He says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Verse 24 is our text tonight. Paul says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." I want to speak to you tonight on the subject that I've given the text, title of the message, "How to Face the Future with Confidence." Face the future with confidence. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I just thank you so much that on a Sunday night we can come into this place and we can study, we can fellowship, we can sing your praises. We can even have a good time with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and knowing that because of the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings us all together in this place. Father, I just want to pray for our church families tonight, those that are not able to be with us. I lift them to you. Provide, Lord, for each and every need. And Lord, I pray for those that have made their way here tonight. I pray that through these next few moments as we gather around your word, that you'll do something in our lives that'll be a blessing and encouragement, a help. And Father, everything that is said and done will bring honor and glory to your precious name. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You know, we've just gotten started into January. And it seems that those resolutions or commitments or things that we were so gung-ho about, sometimes they kind of fall off by the wayside. I read a story of a man by way of introduction, a man by the name of Darren Day. He's 70 years old, lives in Grand Prairie, Texas. Last year, he had made a resolution to kind of organize his life, clean out his house. You know, after he'd been there a while, after you've lived somewhere and things kind of stay somewhere, you've got to just sort of clean up and organize and go through stuff. So while cleaning out his house last year, Darren Day, age 70, of Grand Prairie, Texas, found an old set of Topps baseball cards. Y'all remember Topps baseball cards? I loved collecting baseball cards as a kid. My favorite part was the bazooka bubble gum that was in every pack. Loved to get the bubble gum. But this box of baseball cards that Darren Day found was not a recent set. It was a set that dated back to 1957. Now, if you know anything about collecting baseball cards, you know the older the better, and especially in the fact that these cards had never been opened. They had been sealed. They had never been opened. In fact, he had forgotten all about these cards. He had them from a full set of 1957, a full set of 1958, and it even still had all the packs of the bazooka bubble gum in it. Can you imagine that? So as he began to go through and noticed that on the outside of the card packs, they were having a contest when they printed up those packs of cards. To a contest to those who would correctly fill out the scores of the box scores of certain teams. Well, since there was no deadline to fill it out, Darren Day looked up the games of 1957 and 58, filled out the little list that was included with the Topps baseball cards and the bazooka bubblegum, filled it out, and sent it in. To his surprise, the executives of Bazooka were so surprised, they sent Darren Day, Darwin Day, excuse me, a package of a prize that included a baseball glove, countless t-shirts of baseball teams, a bazooka pillow. Now, I'd like to have one of those. That would have been cool. A bazooka pillow. And yes, they sent him a large box of bazooka bubble gum, even though the contest had ended over 60 years ago. So you know what? It pays to clean out your house every now and then. You never know what you might find. You know, some of our resolutions may include organizing our lives and getting things together. Some of them may be like getting our relationships, maybe our health, and all those kinds of things. But we find from the Apostle Paul tonight, in a passage of Scripture as he's making his way to an uncertain journey. He has an uncertain future facing before him as he's on his way to Jerusalem. Knowing the things that had taken place in his life, knowing the struggles and sharing the gospel and all the things, we have to understand that those of us who name the name of Christ, those of us who live following the Lord Jesus Christ, face all the same challenges. We face the same obstacles. We face the same reverses that everybody else faces. It rains on the just and the unjust, as the Word of God says. It's part of living in a fallen world. But the difference is, as a child of God, there's something that we have to where we can help face the future with confidence. There's something that's given to us that a lost world does not have. We're going to look at two of those things tonight. And just like Job, as he trusted God, as he lost everything in his life and he didn't understand why, Job said, "Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth or my life in my hand?" He said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." So whatever may be facing us this coming year, let me give you two things to help you face a future with confidence. Notice number one tonight. We can face the future by walking by faith. In our text, we find Apostle Paul. And if there was ever someone who knew what it was like to walk by faith, I believe the Apostle Paul would certainly fall into that category. In his life and ministry, nothing was easy. Very few times we find in Paul's life that where he didn't have struggles, conflicts, people would betray him. Those who he would try to reach with the gospel would even turn on him and stone him, try to kill him, and eventually he would be a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul is on his way to Jerusalem in this passage. And he says in verse 22 that he does not know the things that shall befall me. But he says in verse 23 he knows that the Holy Ghost knows. He knows the Holy Spirit knows, because everywhere he's been right there with them. But you know, we don't have to be an Apostle Paul to walk by faith. We don't have to be a preacher to walk by faith. We don't have to be an evangelist or a missionary. But every child of God has to walk by faith. Each and every one of us will face circumstances in our lives at some time or another, and we'll go through that circumstance and we'll have nothing else to depend on but God. We won't have answers to our problems. We won't see the solution lying ahead. In fact, if we see the light at the end of the tunnel, it may not be the solution that we're looking for, but it may be an oncoming train coming the other way, as we find out. So we're going to face problems in our lives. The question is, how are you going to face it? The Apostle Paul gives us the example of what it means to walk by faith. I like what he says in verse 24, because there's a phrase in that verse that really stuck out to me this week as I was studying and preparing this message. He said, "But none of these things move me." Now, I just had to take and I had to underline that. I had to put it up on the screen for you because I don't want you to miss that phrase. "But none of these things move me." And I got to thinking, what are the things that move us, that causes us to get frustrated, that causes us to get discouraged? What are the things that causes us to want to quit? What are the things that happen in our life that cause us to get angry and upset with people? If there was anybody who had a right to question everything, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, he dealt with more problems than all of us put together, it seems. But yet in the midst of it all, and on his way to certain problems in Jerusalem and sharing the gospel in the center of the Jewish culture, he said, but none of these things move me. We need to get to the place in our walk with God that when we walk by faith and trust God for each and everything in our lives, we need to get to the point where we say, nothing is going to move me from following God. Amen. It doesn't matter what happens, and it's all going to happen. Understand that. I mean, we're all going to face problems and difficulties and trials. And I'm sorry, but this is not a country western song of the Christian life to tell you that everything's going to be rose gardens down the road. I mean, it's just not the way it is. But we need to get to the point that no matter our circumstances, no matter our future, no matter what's going on, the focus of our heart should be our faith totally in God to the point that we say, nothing is going to move me. I always get a little bothered by folks who allow every little thing to cause them to just get out of the will of God and the work of God and the fellowship of God's people. I mean, it doesn't take sometimes just some... I've been in ministry long enough. It'll take me too long to tell you some of the things that I've seen. And I scratch my head sometimes and I wonder, what in the world are they thinking? I mean, you know, it's just amazing the things that people will come up with and say, well, bless you, I'm not going back to church. I mean, if that's the way God's going to treat me, I'm not going to serve him. I say, hey, man, wait a minute, you're looking at the wrong thing here. You got to trust God. And that's not easy. I'm not saying it's simple. But I tell you this, I'd rather live my life trusting God for everything I've got than to try to live my life trying to figure it out on my own. Because I have found out by personal experience, when I try to figure it out on my own, I make a huge mess of my life. I step into things I should never step into. I find myself in circumstances I should have never been there. And I find myself spending more time and more effort and more frustration trying to get out of my own mess than it was if I just trusted God in the beginning. It would have been a whole lot easier from the very beginning just to follow God and trust Him. Paul says, nothing. None of these things move me. And the reason it didn't move him is because the next phrase, neither I count my life dear unto myself. That's our problem, is ourselves. We're selfish. We want it our way. We want it on our timetable. We want it done the way we want it. And we spent too much time going through drive-thrus at places that'll fix it your way and give it to you your way. And when everything else in your life doesn't work out in your way, you want to find the complaint department. Let me tell you something, it always don't go your way. Paul says, I count neither my life dear to myself, but I want to finish my course with joy in the ministry that I've received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, it's not about me. By the way, it's not about you either. It's not about you. It's not about what you think ought to be done, how you want it done, this, that, and the other. It's all about the gospel of the grace of God, sharing the love of Jesus to a lost and dying world. That's the main thing. And the problem in our churches and our families and our lives is when we count ourselves more important than the work of God, then we start stepping into things and getting ourselves in situations, and now we've got a mess. But Paul said, none of these things move me. Just determine in your heart, God, when it comes, I'm going to trust you. Just help me. It's going to be hard. It might not be easy. I don't know what it's going to be. But faith in action is what God is asking from us. Notice, secondly, not only do we have to walk by faith, but as we face uncertain future, and we can face this with confidence, notice this, we can believe the impossible. We can believe the impossible. You know, a lot of people didn't give Paul a chance. A lot of people probably told Paul, hey, you ought to just quit and go home. It's not going to do any good. These people don't care about you. In fact, Paul, one evangelist said, everywhere Paul went, he either had a riot or a revival or both. You know, I mean, that's just the way it happened. You know, either people wanted to kill him or they'd start a new church. And then they'd turn around trying to kill him. So how about that? And a lot of folks probably would blame Paul if he said, you know what, I'm just going to keep making tents. I'm going back home. No. Paul wasn't going to do that. Because Paul decided he was going to believe the impossible. Understand, this was a man who at one time was persecuting the church of God. This was a man who at one time would haul people into prison just because they met together in fellowship in church. But on the road to Damascus, all of that changed one day. When God stepped out and threw the bright light and blinded him and knocked him to his knees on the ground on that road to Damascus, God gloriously saved Saul of Tarsus and made him the Apostle Paul. If there was anybody who had a right and who could say, you know what, I've had enough. This wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I can live life more comfortably doing something else. I'm going home. Paul decided he was going to believe the impossible. I got a question for you. If everything you could figure out on your own and your life would happen the way you could figure it out on your own, would you need faith? Now think about that for a minute. Some of you hadn't had supper yet, and that may be a little over your head. But think about it. If you could figure out everything in your life on your own, why would you need faith in God? But the thing is, you can't figure it out on your own. And that's why you do need faith in God. And when it comes to faith in God, are you having faith that God's going to do it the way you want it, the way you've got it figured out? And a lot of times we come to God like we come to Him with our Christmas list. Oh, here's what I want, and this is the way I want it done. God says, oh, I don't work that way. That's not what I want for your life. God says you just do like Abraham. Wealthy Abraham leaves his family and everything out of Ur of the Chaldees, and God says, I want you to go, Abraham. I want you to go, and I'm going to want you to follow me. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, took his wife and his children, with no children at that time, and all of his servants and all the things, and he left all of his family behind, and he began going somewhere that the Bible says he didn't know where he was going. He went to a country where he didn't even know where he was going. How many of you would get out on a trip tomorrow, load up your car and your belongings or your family, say goodbye to your job, say goodbye to your friends, get in the car and just start going? And everybody say, where are you going? I don't know. Somebody think, well, you kind of lost it there a little bit, you know. Say, where are you headed? Not sure. We might need to call DeKeith or Highway Patrol or somebody and check you out. That's exactly what Abraham did. God said, just trust me. I'm going to lead you every step of the way. Where are we going, God? Don't know, but I'm not going to tell you, but you just follow me. And I'm going to take and show you what I'm going to do in your life. Believe in the impossible. Reminds me of the story in John chapter 11. I'll not take time to read it, but the story of Lazarus who died, and Mary and Martha had sent word for Jesus to come, and he delayed his coming and didn't show up until Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. John chapter 11, as Jesus arrives and Mary and Martha run out to meet him, and the sisters are grieving over the loss of their brother, and the first thing out of the mouth is, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Thinking that Jesus could only help him if he was still alive. You know, sometimes that's the way we limit God. God can only help us if He does it the way we want it to. But sometimes God's delaying 4 days in your life because He wants to show you something even bigger. And so Jesus says, just hang on. We got all this taken care of. Everything's going to be fine. And Jesus is going to prove to them that He can do the impossible. They'd seen Him heal people of diseases, so they knew he could do that. Made lame walk, Brother Keith, like we heard this morning. Well, he's made blind see, and he's made the deaf to hear, and he's done all kinds of wonderful things. But wait a minute, nobody been dead 4 days and got up. He had raised some people who had died just shortly before, and they immediately got back up just a short time later. But 4 days is 4 days. Bodies start stinking. They start decomposing, and it ain't pretty. 4 days is like, to the Jewish culture, that meant it was done, and oh, there's no hope for that. I mean, 4 days was 4 days. It was all the eternity of time. Jesus said, just hang on. Mary, Martha, I'm going to do something that you ain't never seen before. Martha, when she went out to meet him, and she said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. In verse 22 and 23, she said something else her sister didn't say. Martha said this, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Wait a minute. Martha had a little bit of faith, just enough to believe the impossible. She didn't want to come out and say it, but deep down in her heart, she knew that if Jesus could make all these other things happen, maybe, just maybe, Lazarus is not going to stay dead if that's what Jesus wants. And she expressed her faith in believing the impossible and reached beyond what others would even dare even imagine, that God could do something that everybody else says is impossible. Let me ask you a question this evening. What is it in your life that you consider so impossible that you wouldn't dare ask anybody to pray for that to happen because you'd be so embarrassed because it's so impossible? But yet deep down in your heart you say, God, if you can do all of that, I believe you can do this. To me, it's impossible in my life. I can't see how it could happen. I can't see how you're going to work it out. I can't see all the end results of it. But God, if you are who you are, and I believe you can do it. And you wouldn't dare bring up a prayer request in Sunday school or youth group. You wouldn't dare ask the preacher to request that prayer publicly in a Wednesday night prayer meeting, because to everybody would look at you and say, man, you're nuts. That's impossible. But right there in your life, you're dealing with something that deep down in your heart, everybody says it's impossible, but you believe right now with God, everything is possible with God. He proved it over and over again. And if we're going to live a life that is pleasing to God, if we're going to face a future that's uncertain, if we're going to face that future with confidence, we've got to learn to believe the impossible. And not what you can do, but what only God can do. Jesus made his way to the grave, and you know the story. He did something that nobody expected. Told Lazarus to get up, to come out. And he come walking out of that grave. I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but if I'd seen a dead man getting up coming, I don't know if I'm going to stay and shout and praise God or if I'm going to run. You said, preacher, wouldn't you stay there? I don't know. It hadn't happened yet. When it happens, I'll let you know which one I'm going to do. But I'll tell you this. If God can raise Lazarus from the dead, he can do whatever he needs to do in every one of your lives tonight. Whatever you're facing, it says, God, it's impossible. I can't pay it. I can't face it. I can't get over it. I can't deal with it. It's never going to happen. And God's saying, wait a minute. Hold it. Don't you remember who I am? Don't you remember I created this world in 6 literal days just by speaking it into existence? Don't you know that I provided for your salvation in a way that you can never pay for it yourself? By shedding blood on a cross and rising from the dead 3 days later? Don't you know that I've done every single thing throughout history to show to you who I am? And don't you know that you wouldn't be here today if God wasn't already doing the impossible in your life? Because every single one of us is a testimony of believing the impossible, because none of us could go to heaven without God. But because of God, we're on our way to heaven because of our faith and trust in Him. Don't tell me God can't do the impossible. Because every single one of you are a testimony of believing the impossible. We're studying the book of James on Wednesday night, as I said. When we get to chapter 4, we'll find this verse that too many Christians miss out on. James says, you lust and you have not, you kill, you desire to have, and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not, Because ye ask not. Now listen, that's not something sugarcoat all of the problems in your life and give you something, but I want to tell you, God meant what He says, and He says what He means. We do not pray like we should. We do not believe like we should. And the reasons we fail to trust God is because we think that somehow God is limited because our faith is limited. God is not limited just because you have short-sightedness. God can do it all if you'll just trust Him. You say, how's it going to work? I don't know. But man, I'm ready to stand back and watch it happen. And let God get all the glory for it. Maybe if we get ourselves out of the way, maybe we get our agendas out of the way, maybe we get our preferences or our prejudices all set out of the way and just say, God, whatever it is you want to do in my life, whatever you want to do in my family, what do you want to do in my church? Everybody says it can't be done. But God, if that's what you want to do, have at it. Go for it. No matter what we say, it has to come from our hearts that we believe God is able to do the impossible. Paul's on his way to Jerusalem. Eventually he'll make his way to Rome. He'll stand before Caesar. He'll stand before other rulers of authority as he goes along the way. He'll be shipwrecked. He'll be left for dead. God says, don't worry about it. I got you. You're going to stand before Caesar. You're going to testify for me in Rome one of these days. And they said, Paul, you'll never make it. Paul says, don't worry about it. God's already got it settled. I'm going to make it. It's going to be done. Let me give you a statement. I want you to write this down on the slide on the conclusion. If our faith is limited by what seems only possible to us, we will never see God work in miraculous ways. I read that this week, and I'm going to say it again for the benefit of those who are listening and give you a chance. John, you could just leave that slide there for us, please, and we can write that down. If our faith is limited by what seems possible to us, we will never see God work in miraculous ways. I'm praying for a miracle. If I told you what it is, y'all would all faint. Some of you would say, he's done gone crazy. But there's some things in my life I've been praying for a miracle. And this week as I studied this, I had to get down on my knees and ask God to forgive me where I failed in trusting Him enough. Too many times I care about what other people think. I'm worried about what somebody might say. I'm worried about this or that or the other, which all of those things are selfish. It's getting self in the way. But if we get to the point in our lives and we say with Paul, none of these things are going to move me. I'm going to walk by faith and I'm going to believe the impossible. And everybody else is going to say, it can't happen. And I'm going to say, you're right. You can't make it happen. I can't make it happen. But I believe God can. I believe God can. Now, I share this. This is the last thing I want to share with you. Sometimes you try to do things on your own. And this is what you get for it. Okay? It's resolutions. Making progress. We're the first month of the new year. Someone wrote this. My goal for this year was to lose 10 pounds. I've only got 15 to go. Amen. I ate salad for dinner. Well, it's mostly croutons and tomatoes. Really, it was just one big round crouton covered with tomato sauce and it had cheese. Okay, fine. It was pizza. Made a commitment I was going to eat tofu. So I found a recipe, how to prepare tofu. Step one, throw it in the trash. Step two, grill a steak. I thought I would do a week's worth of cardio and get it over with in one day. How'd you do that? I walked into a big spider web outside my house. Now you just figure that out. You just walk through it. You've done that. Yeah, okay. They went on to write, "I don't mean to brag, but I finished my 14-day diet in 3 hours and 20 minutes. Andy, you ever had any of those folks come into your office like that? Yeah. A recent study has found that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than the men who happen to mention to the women that they're carrying a little extra weight. Mm-hmm. Kids today don't know how easy you've got it. When I was young, I had to walk 9 feet through shag carpet just to change the TV channel. Praise God for it. They finally write, "There's just some days I just take a sticky note, write the words out of order, put it on my forehead, and I just call it a day." Maybe some of you think that's where you are now. Some of you try to do things on your own, and that's how you end up sometimes in your life. Let me tell you something. God wants you to walk by faith. Just trust Him. And if you'll just believe the impossible, and this is not some social gospel heresy. I'm talking about trusting God for what God wants to happen in your life. If you'll do it, we'll see things happen like we heard about this morning from Nepal, from our friend Amber. Who would have believed a little skinny girl like that would go 9 months in countries and sharing the gospel and just, I could just see Amber just smiling all over Nepal and Rwanda and everywhere else she's been. A lot of folks said she'd never make it. Said, "You won't afford it. You can't afford it." I know something you don't know, Keith. When they said it was impossible, you can go tell all those people it's done possible now. Whatever it is in your life that you're saying is impossible with God, just trust Him. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know how to give an invitation or close this service except just say this. We're not going to sing or play or do anything else. Just as we close in the quietness of this moment, maybe you just want to just enjoy getting around this altar tonight and just say, "God, thank you. I just want to live by faith and trust you." Just the quietest moment, I'll give you a chance to do that right now. If you just want to come on, get down here and pray before I close. We'll pray together and just trust God. What are you needing to trust God for tonight? I got something in my heart right now. I'm praying to trust God for it. It's impossible on my own. It's big. Trusting God. Maybe you're trusting God for the salvation of someone that everybody else said they'll never get saved, but you're trusting God. Get down on this altar and pray for them tonight. Maybe you got a financial need in your heart and your family and you're praying about something. You don't know how it's going to work out, but you're trusting God. Everybody says it'll never work. Yes, but you trust God. God will take care of it. Walk by faith. Believe the impossible. God can raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. He can take care of whatever you need tonight. And if He can take care of the Apostle Paul to the point where he says, "None of these things move me," maybe we should just quit getting so worked up about all these things and just say, "Just don't let it move me. I'm just going to keep on keeping on." Father, I thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You for these precious folks that have got around this altar. Others that may be standing in the pews that are praying about some area of their life, I pray for them right now. Pray for these dear folks at the altar tonight. I pray for our church family members that will be listening to this message later on the website or iTunes. And God, if You speak to their heart and they respond, Lord, I pray for them. But oh God, I just want to reach out right now and say, God, whatever it is You want to do in my life, let me get to the point where none of these other things around me, distractions, move me. Lord, let me walk by faith and trust You. Lord, let me just believe the impossible. When everybody says it can't be done, Lord, I'm just going to trust You. Lord, help us as a church to step out by faith and do what needs to be done so that we can share the gospel in this community and reach out around the world. Pray, Lord, as we can enable our missionaries and our evangelists and our others that are sharing the word, Lord, in places where we can't go personally, but they're going. Lord, help us to believe the impossible. You can provide for the need. You can give the results and the fruit for the labor to be honor and glory to your name. Lord, we look forward to when we stand before you one of these days in heaven and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, to that day comes, Lord, we stand right here. We need you to help us. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us believe the impossible. Help us walk by faith. And everything that's done will not bring glory to us or our church or anybody else in this world, but only to you, dear Father. May you be honored and glorified. And everything that's done, Lord, we'll praise you for it. Carry us through this week. Give us opportunities to serve you, to witness for you as we did today, Lord. Shared at the lunchtime with a young man who's seeking God in his life and had an opportunity to witness to him, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to him today. And, Lord, may he trust you today, Lord, before it's too late. Lord, help us to, Lord, each and every day to step out by faith and believe the impossible. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.